All right, we'll get started. I was waiting for some more folks, but I don't know if it's the cold or playoffs or whatever, but we'll get started. Welcome to Love in Motion. It's good to see you guys. If you're a user of Facebook, then I invite you to check in on Facebook. And if we're friends, then you can tag me on that, please. And if we're not friends, then that's okay. Or maybe we can be friends, right? So welcome to Love in Motion. Quick run through why Love in Motion exists. I share this often not because I think we have forgotten or we have pushed it out of our minds, but there's gentle reminders that just help to nudge and keep us on the correct path. And here's our mission. We want to use the context that we're at. It means where we live, where we work, and where we play. And we want to use those opportunities to be able to love people who are in our lives. And when we love and put their needs before our own, we often have opportunities to point people back to Jesus. So what does loving somebody extravagantly mean? It literally just means putting their needs before our own needs. Let that sink in a little bit. Putting others' needs before your own. And there are opportunities to do that often, on a daily basis, I would contend. And we get a chance to point back to Jesus. So, short little acronym called Live Love. Look around where you're at for a reason. When you have opportunities, as we just spoke about, to do something for somebody, whether it's just a word or a high five, or a note, or a text, or buying them lunch or coffee, obey. Do it quickly. It's good training. The V is for volunteer. You're gifted. You've got some amazing things that you're good at. You're smart. You're wise. You're caring. You're tender. Somewhere in there, use those gifts well. What you've been given, use it well for the good of others and your city. And eat. Eat often and make those meals really meaningful. Please ask some great questions. Ask how you can help people get to where they want to get at. Ask what their hurts are. Share your hurts. Share your dreams. Share your desires. And perhaps even you say, hey, you know what? Let's pray about those things. So we believe that in living this lifestyle, there tends to be beautiful fruit that comes from it. So live love. Towards the end of the message, we'll have a few minutes for Q&A. So keep your mind and your ears open. If there's something you'd like for us to touch base on a little bit more, we'll have an opportunity towards the end. So we began a new teaching series last week called Don't Trust Your Heart. And I opened with this question: what does your heart tell you? And I shared that often my heart tells me things that hurt others. I shared that often my heart says give if there's some kind of return on your investment. I shared that at times my heart spews out hatred, perhaps not in words, but just thoughts. I shared that sometimes my heart revolves around only doing what's good for me in some way. I'm not sure if any of you guys have any of those feelings, but oftentimes my heart is deceitful. Often my heart leads me to pain, and it often lies to me. Like, I've heard my heart say, Poyo, you're not good enough. Poyo, you're failing at this or that. And as I started to prepare for this series, I was thinking about what the Bible says about our hearts. And in Jeremiah 17:9, it tells us that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. And when we get to the heart of that, when we get to the crux that this thing called our heart, which is the seat of all of our emotions and will and even actions, when there's something wrong with that, then we have to get to the bottom of it and find out how we change that. So the heart isn't just an organ that pumps blood and beats. It's literally called the center of us. Life springs forward from it. Good, bad. Most times it revolves around what's in it for us, because it deceitfully leads us down that path. So it's important to get to the heart of the matter. What's wrong with us? Why do we often struggle with giving and encouraging and loving and putting others before ourselves? Let me put it like this. Why doesn't it come naturally? Like when we're tired and beat down and we get that text message or that knock on the door, why isn't the immediate reaction, yes, I want to go and love and help joyfully? Why that internal struggle of, don't they know how busy I am? And like, they're asking for that, but don't they know that I have things to spend that money on? And they want my time, but my time is so limited. And they've already asked once. Why do they ask again? Like, I want to kind of put it out there. Like, why are our hearts like that? Why are they naturally bent towards self? Why do our hearts naturally tell us, you don't need advice? You've got it all together. You don't need a God. You don't need a mother, a father, a friend, a coworker. You don't need somebody to be honest with you and hold your hand, because you can float by yourself. Our hearts naturally bend that way. Nobody has to train us to hold on to our things, right? We naturally, our disposition is hold on more, give less. Our natural disposition is, you wronged me, let me wrong you. Am I wrong? Like, do any of us naturally, when we're offended and hurt, backstabbed, is anybody's natural disposition, let me love and forgive you and hold you and embrace you? I'm trying to lay out a little bit of proof of how real this is. Like, at the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And if we don't get to the crux of it, then how do we deal with it? If I have a bad cough and I go to the doctor and the doctor fears telling me that in reality I have lung cancer and he just gives me cough syrup, will that ever help me? If he doesn't get to the heart of it, how do I ever resolve it? If the marriage is falling apart, you don't tell the husband, just go buy roses and candy and it'll make it all better. There's got to be something at the heart of it that needs to be resolved. Correct? Somebody who has some type of addiction to drugs, to alcohol, you name it, you don't say, just try harder tomorrow morning when you wake up and you'll get over it. You go home and you see the leak that's coming from the top, and you don't go and put a bucket and say, I'll just change out the bucket every 4 days. You say, what's the problem? And you get to it, because it would be insane to just stand there and say, okay, I'll just watch the drop and I'll be faithful to dump it out when it's about to overflow. I'm attempting to tenderly lay out this truth that our hearts are inclined naturally towards self-defense. Oh yeah, you disagree with me? Let me tell you. Oh, you're not like me. You don't believe in what I think. Then let me exclude you a little bit. So the heart of it is this. What do we do? How do we avoid living a life of seeing the bucket and ignoring the root of the problem? I shared this recently, and I got a little bit of pushback, and I welcome it. The questions and the really, here's how I see it. But our what if, let me do it like this, a what if question. Because you all are smart folks. Educated. Thinkers. Philosophers. Lovers of wisdom. I truly believe that. What if our hearts were designed to be led and not to be followed? It's a question. What if? Because if our hearts naturally bend this way towards the hate and the self and the me before you, then would it not be unwise to follow a leader like that? Just asking. My heart, when I have followed my heart, it has caused me so much pain. Like my desire, you know what I want, and the way I get to it is do basically whatever I need to, and I've done it, and I've hurt people in my life, and I've hurt myself, and I've hurt the relationship with my Father, God. So what if we are going about it the wrong way? What if this pop culture cliche of just trust your heart and follow your gut, what if that's jacked up? Because if your heart is anything like mine, then we know where our heart's going to lead us. Often our heart is like Jack Sparrow's compass, right? Where does it lead? North, always. Jack Sparrow says, this compass leads me to what my heart desires the most. Our hearts are like that. What does Pollo desire the most? And then I wind up, I have wound up in the past, going and pushing and kicking and hurting anything in the way because my heart pointed north. And that north was bent like this. Away from loving others and from understanding how well loved I am by God. So again, what if our hearts, not just that organ that pumps blood and beats, what if our hearts, the center of our being, the one who controls our will, our emotion, and our actions, what if we were given a heart so that we could teach it? How do we teach it? What is there to teach it? How do we allow it to be guided well? We're told that we're told to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Think about that for a moment. Like all of this, all of our driving force says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust Pollo because Pollo's a self-centered jerk that if he's not careful will fall off the ledge quickly. But what if my heart needs to be led by somebody superior, by somebody who loves authentically, no strings attached, somebody who knows how to love well? What if it's the Lord who wants to mold our hearts. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him, Christ, God, in all your ways. And He will make your path straight. Here's how I'm going to start to close up. Here's what we need to get. Or here, let me say this. Here's what I'll put out tenderly as your pastor. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There are areas of our lives that we'll gladly follow if they fit into our little compartments. We will partially say, yeah, that kind of feels good today, and I agree with you today. And we tend to say, but not there. He says, trust Him with all your heart. It's a breath by breath and step by step process. None of us owns this. I would contend that none of us will ever own it on this side of heaven. However, that doesn't say we give up. That means we start to die a little bit to self. And we start to say, I haven't trusted you with that, with my finances, with that issue in my life. I haven't trusted you there because I know how to do it better. And we fall back to the original problem of all of us, that our heart is inclined this way. When He says right, we're like, I hear the right, but it feels good and tastes better if I go left. And if you're like me, you have wound up on your face many times, hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually. And that has cascaded to people in your life. He says, trust me with your finances. Trust me with how you love your spouse, how you love your friends, how you serve your neighbors. Trust me with your thoughts. Trust me with your future plans. Where are you going to go to school? What are you going to do with that job? How are you going to manage the gifts that I've given you? The knowledge, the heart, your talents. Trust me with it completely. With the way you react when somebody offends you, hurts you. Trust Him with that a little bit, moment by moment, breath by breath, and step by step. Maybe. Not being flippant, but maybe we get to a point where we're like, my way hasn't worked out really. So I'm going to trust Him a little bit here today. And you take a tiny breath. No spiritual champs in this room. None. But just needy people who are like, hold me from my hand today, God. So we trust Him with all of our heart. Process. We lean not on our own understanding. Perhaps the most difficult point that I'll try and connect back. Lean not on your own understanding. You know what that means? We admit our inadequacies. I say it's difficult because nobody likes to stand in the line of, I need help. Admitting our inadequacies in a way is saying, I can't do this on my own. Think about that. Nobody likes to stand that line, see the people in the other line that says, I've got it all together, I can do this, I'm going to push through, I'm going to bust through, and I've done it. Because our human nature says, you can, you don't need anybody. You don't need the advice, you don't need the counsel, you don't need the love, and you certainly don't need some deity telling you what to do. But it's in admitting our inadequacies that we receive the help. I don't know if you've ever been part of a 12-step program or whoever heard of a 12-step program. You know what step number one is? I need help. I cannot do this on my own. Tough, because everything in us says, you're drowning, but just get your head above water for half a second, then you'll stay down again. And then we do it again, and it's a process, and it's the bucket, and it's every other 4 days, like, I got this. We don't got this. That's broken English, right? But we don't got this.
We ain't got this.
We ain't got this, y'all. I invite you to admit your inadequacy. I can't. And if you're anything like me, you've been broken so much, you've been punched in the face, and you've seen the bloody nose in your life so much that you're like, and I don't even want to, honestly. Don't even want to. I give up. I just want you to pick me up where I'm at. I just want you to hold me. It's a beautiful invitation. It's not a humiliating one. It's a loving father saying, come, son, what do you need? And you say, here's what I need. And that's how we admit our inadequacies. I can't. I don't want to. I'm struggling and it hurts. And he's like, that's beautiful. He blesses the humble. You know what he says in James he does? He pushes away the proud. Scary, right? I've been there. Invite me to coffee and I'll share with you what that looks like. I can do this on my own. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge him. A process. And it basically says, walk intimately with him. How do you begin to acknowledge people in your life? Boss, coworker, spouse, friend, classmate. How do you begin to acknowledge him a little bit more and more? If that's a process and we want it to progress, how does that grow? There needs to be intimacy, right? There needs to be time when you and I sit down and we cut a little bean burrito from Taco Bell at the same time, right? And there needs to be another time when maybe you come over to my place and we sit and we share a cold drink. And then there's another time when I send you a text message and I'm like, hey, just thinking of you. And there's intimacy, right? And there are processes that need to happen so that intimacy grows, right? It happens with your spouse. You spend a little bit more time and you get to know each other a little bit more. But if you're in bubble A, they're in bubble B, then does that intimacy ever grow? No. Happens with friendships and with coworkers and with classmates and with neighbors. And if that's true horizontally, then it is true vertically as well. Acknowledge him in all of your ways intimately. Get to know him a little bit more every day. You're about to pull the trigger on that decision. Say, what would you have me do? I've never heard him audibly ever, ever, ever. Have never heard God say, Paul, you don't. But I've heard him here. And sometimes it's like, Paul, yes. And I just feel encouraged and I know he's walking by me and I know he holds me from my right hand like Isaiah 41 says, and he never lets me go. And he says, I am the Lord, your helper. If there's no intimacy, no desire for me to have intimacy, how can I hear him? Again, a process. Step by step, breath by breath process. acknowledge him in all your ways, at every turn, in every valley, in every dark room, with every tear that we shed, with every doubt that we have, in all of our anger, with all the hurt that's been caused to us. Acknowledge him in all your ways. So intimate, so close, that something will happen here. And you'll be able to see a glimmer of light. It's not about trying harder. No 3-step process to make you better. We don't teach morality or rules at Love in Motion. Go to Barnes & Noble and pick up a book with 8 steps on how to have a better life, if that's what you're looking for. Tony Robbins might write a couple of those, or I don't know. It's intimacy. It's relationship. That's what we teach. Not religion, not rules, not morality, not be a better person. It's relationship. And as that relationship grows and that intimacy, then naturally our hearts start to overflow things that are new. And I'll close up with this. And he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. A straight path is a lot easier than a windy path with valleys and bumps and flat tires, right? Just not even going spiritually, but would y'all agree with that? A straight path is better than all of this. Yes? So get this. In his goodness, God says that we, when we acknowledge him, when we trust him with all we are, when we have that desire to grow intimately with him, he says, in return, lovingly, not because he owes us anything, but lovingly, he says, I'm going to straighten your path. I'm going to be your tour guide through the chaos of life, because life is chaotic and it's messy, and we have a decision to make tomorrow, and we have no idea what it's going to look like today, and we have bills to pay, and we have no idea how that's going to happen, and we have dreams that have not yet been fulfilled, and we don't know how that's going to happen. So in the midst of all of this, he promises this. He says, I'll walk by you. I'll make your path straight. I'll be your tour guide. So as I was preparing this week, I was trying to think if we've ever done something that required a tour guide, and we have never. So I fail.
What about shopping for a home? Did you need a realtor?
We did. Kind of like did. So here, let me jump on that. So about 12 years ago, we did buy a home. And I remember at the beginning of the process, we tried to do it on our own. Mm-hmm. And we tried to go and look through the paper and then knock on homes where you would drive by and be like, hey, maybe we can buy that home. And it might be a different process with renting than in buying, but we had no idea how to do any loan paperwork. We had no idea how much our income needed to be. We had no idea how to do that. So let me try. And tie this all together. He's the one who says these things that you don't know and don't get, and you just bang your head on the wall because it's way too much for you. Whatever our things are. And boy, we have many, right? He says, let me straighten your path. Let me be the one who guides you. And when you see that that loophole's there that could hurt you, he says, let me take you by the hand and say, I've got something better for you. So this is a process where he is inviting all of us gently, tenderly, lovingly to say, will you guide my heart? Will you slowly transfer and mold my heart into what you want it to be? And then none of that is pull you lean more on your heart and follow your gut because your dream is in there. Don't mistake this and misread something I'm not saying. Don't walk out of here and say, Poyo doesn't want me to follow my dreams. That's not what I'm saying. But I have been on the receiving end and on the giving end of, we don't know what to do. There's a lot of question in this decision. What do we do? Just follow your heart. It'll tell you. It's going to lead you down a very crappy path. Here's the good news in this, is that as we walk intimately with him, he starts to transform the heart. And we move from these self-centered, focused jerks 100% to being only 99% self-centered jerk. And then it shifts a little bit more to maybe 98%. And then we fall on our face and we're back at 100. But that's the beauty of his love and of his grace that is unending, that he says, this is contingent upon what I've done for you. And I've done it all. That's grace. In the questions and the doubts and the fears, what he really wants is relationship, time, intimacy, less of us, more of him. And the beautiful things start to overflow slowly. Then we start to become lights that shine in dark areas that we're in. We start to become salty and leave a flavor when we're sitting with friends or with neighbors or with coworkers, and they start to see something different. And they see him come through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he promises to make our paths straight. Close up with this. When through life's darkened maze I go, and troubles overwhelm my soul, grant me, O Lord, your grace to know that you are surely in control. Jesus, we pray that as we close up this morning, that your word would be planted deep into our hearts. We pray that breath by breath, you would allow us to lean less on self and more on you. Thank you for your promise to straighten out our paths. You are good and you are in control. Whisper it into our ears moment by moment. Thank you. Amen.